Okay, it is the 22nd of August, 2021. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Report. The real national security crisis? That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, so thanking Dave and Jessica Black for the bandana. They sent it to me, and Dave and Jessica, if you are watching this report, I would ask that you would send me an email so I can properly thank you, because there was no address or anything when it came in the mail. It was just there, and I didn't get anything else with it to respond in that way, and I always want to try to thank people personally for sending something along. Okay, starting out with news today from Israel. From the Times of Israel, Lapid, Israel, Morocco to upgrade to full diplomatic relations within 2 months. Foreign Minister Lapid said that Israel and Morocco would upgrade their relations to full diplomatic ties and open embassies in each other's countries within 2 months. Speaking at a press conference in Casablanca, where he met with members of the Jewish community on the second day of his historic trip to Morocco, Lapid said that the Moroccan Foreign Minister Bourita is expected to be aboard the first Royal Air Maroc flight from Morocco to Israel in either October or early November, in order to open the Moroccan embassy in Tel Aviv. Morocco reportedly hesitated to move forward until it was assured that the Trump admin's recognition of its sovereignty over the disputed Western Sahara region would be upheld by Biden. Once the new admin assured Rabat that it would not reverse this recognition, Morocco decided to move forward with the normalization deal. So there you go. This is total credit to Donald Trump. This has nothing to do with the current administration, and none of these things would have come about if it wasn't for the efforts of the previous administration. And just fortunately, they decided to not tackle that issue and say, we're not going to recognize Western Sahara. If they had done that, then it would have caused problems. But they decided to not do it, and this is going to go ahead and go forward. From Israel Hayom, vaccinated Israelis account for 53% of new daily COVID cases. 53 is more than half. Everybody got that? Over half of confirmed cases, 53%, were identified in individuals who had been vaccinated for the disease, while 43% of those who tested positive were unvaccinated. 2% were in the process of inoculation, while 1% had already recovered from the virus. None of the new cases were identified among individuals who had recovered from the virus and received at least one dose of the vaccine. And then from all Israel, number of seriously ill coronavirus patients in Israel grows by 70% in 1 week, one of the highest vaccination rates in the world, and they are showing a 70% increase in cases. From the Times of Israel, Israel intercepts 23 tons of chocolate it says was intended to finance Hamas. 23 tons of chocolate. Israeli security officials captured and confiscated a shipment of 23 tons of chocolate bars headed to the Gaza Strip, they say was part of a network financing Hamas military operations in the territory. Tax authority officials intercepted the shipment as it passed from Egypt into Israel at the Nitzana border crossing before it headed to Gaza. According to Israeli officials, the chocolate bars were being brought into the Strip by importers working with two Gazan companies that belong to the Shamlach family and serve as Hamas fronts. Al-Mutahideen and Arab al-Sin are designated as terror organizations by Israel, which says sales of their imports in Gaza help finance Hamas's military wing. When the defense minister was asked what would happen to the chocolate, he quickly wiped his face and said, "What chocolate?" That was a joke, obviously. I added it in. All right, let's see here. Got some news concerning Christianity today. David Hines finished the Genesis series, all 130 Genesis sermons, and he's moved on to the Galatians Bible study before heading back to Exodus. And then Brandon is finishing 1 Corinthians podcast today, the second book after that, and I will have listened to every podcast posted. That's thousands of podcasts, because it's Old Testament and New. Sharon, I have completed Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Jonah, and Esther, and am caught up with Thursday's Bible study. And then we have Tina. She's our Wizard of Pause. She has listened to every single teaching we have published at this church. Along with Claudia, she may be the only person that's actually done that. Every single teaching I've ever put out that is online. And that's a real achievement. And I would encourage anybody that watches these CG reports to start watching the sermons and the Bible studies as well, because that is where you will get your doctrine. And hopefully you will be blessed by what you find in those sermons and studies. From the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Atlanta Church requiring proof of vaccination to worship in person. Guess where I won't be attending? The 107-year-old Greater Piney Grove Baptist Church in DeKalb now requires worshipers to show proof of vaccination, take a temperature check, and sign a waiver before they are allowed to enter in-person services. The Glenwood Avenue Church, which has about 3,000 members, started asking for proof of vaccination several weeks ago, even before the rise of the Delta variant, said the Reverend William F. Flippin Sr., senior pastor. He's worried about people who are unvaccinated getting sick and also spreading the virus to others. It concerns me greatly, says Flippin, who is fully vaccinated. There are too many young people who won't get the vaccine. The health of our congregation is the most critical. People only have to show proof of vaccination once. After that, the information is stored in a computer file. And my thought is that pastor is flipping nuts. All right, from the End Times headlines, YouTube will now flag and strike any videos and channels that promote prayer for COVID under new policy. Another reason why I decided I'm just not going to post anything to YouTube in this regard anymore is, you know, I'm going to say this right now. God can heal anything. There's nothing God can't heal. I am not one that claims healing. You're not going to see me raising my hands over somebody and claiming healing in Jesus' name. That is inappropriate. It is something that we should never do. But at the same time, we should be allowed to pray to the Almighty Creator of all things for the health of others. And if they're going to ban people because of that, then that's a real problem. It appears that churches, ministries, and ministers will now be placed in the spotlight at an even greater level. Google has recently updated its terms and policy violations to reveal that it will no longer allow prayer as a means of treatment for COVID-19. Under their terms and conditions, it states YouTube doesn't allow content about COVID-19 that poses a serious risk of egregious harm. YouTube doesn't allow content that spreads medical misinformation, that contradicts local health authorities, or the World Health Organization medical information about COVID-19. This is limited to content that contradicts World Health Organization or local health authorities' guidance on treatment, prevention, diagnosis, transmission, social distancing, and self-isolation guidelines. YouTube's policies on COVID-19 are subject to change in response to changes to global or local health authorities' guidance on the virus. When one scrolls down even further, you will discover the next section that states, "Don't post content on YouTube if it includes any of the following treatment misinformation: content that encourages the use of home remedies, prayer, or rituals in place of medical treatment such as consulting a doctor or going to the hospital. Content that claims that there's a guaranteed cure for COVID-19, content that recommends the use of ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine for the treatment of COVID-19, claims that hydroxychloroquine is an effective treatment for COVID-19, categorical claims that ivermectin is an effective treatment for COVID-19, other content that discourages people from consulting a medical professional or seeking medical advice." Okay. Those are their guidelines. They want you to know that all of those are what they believe and that you can't say anything different than that. But while it's still up, because it was up yesterday, and I've sent it to several of you in the church, if you get a chance before they take it down, you can go watch Dr. Ryan Cole pound Stop the Mandate. It's a video that he has put on YouTube and has not yet been taken down, and he would disagree with pretty much everything that they have just mandated you can't say. So there you go, Dr. Ryan Cole, pound Stop the Mandate. And I think that that will be a great video for you to at least get informed on. I do not know if it's on Rumble when it's taken off of YouTube, which it will be. Then we'll just have to see where to go from there. One thing that I was told by a doctor is that this has nothing to do with getting COVID. It has something to do with preventing it, is that she recommends you take vitamin D, which I've said all along, I always take vitamin D. She also said take vitamin C each day and zinc, which I didn't know that until yesterday. And guess what I bought at Publix this morning? I got a thing of zinc. So I'll tell Hideko to do that as well. So it's just something that was recommended by a professional doctor that attends the Superior Word Online. Okay, some news from the Middle East and Africa today from the Times of Israel. IAEA, Iran producing uranium metal, which can be used in nuclear bomb. With the chances of a return to the 2015 nuclear deal fading, I disagree with that. I think that they've just put it on the back burner and they're just going to allow things to kind of devolve and then they're going to save the day by bringing the deal back in. That's just my guess. I could be wrong. Iran has progressed with producing uranium metal, the UN nuclear watchdog said. On 14 August 2021, the agency verified that Iran had used 257 grams of uranium enriched up to 20% U-235 in the form of UF4 uranium tetrafluoride to produce 200 grams of uranium metal enriched up to 20% U-235, the IAEA said. Uranium metal can be used as a component in nuclear weapons. Iran had signed up to a 15-year ban on producing or requiring plutonium or uranium metals or their alloys under the so-called JCPOA signed in 2015 with world powers. Iran previously told the UN nuclear watchdog that it was advancing research on uranium metal production, saying it is aimed at providing advanced fuel for a research reactor in Tehran. The IAEA added that the move was step three in a four-step plan, the fourth being the production of a reactor fuel plate. So they're saying, well, this is for non-nuclear or, you know, non-bomb purposes, but they agreed that they wouldn't make it at all. Okay, so they have this stuff out there. My guess is that Biden knows this. He knows that this is going on, and he's just deferring by saying, oh, look at how bad things are getting. We need to return to the JCPOA, and they'll stop doing these bad things. That's just my guess, but I think that's probably the direction we're going, knowing the leadership in our nation. From CNN, electricity and transport become luxury items overnight, accelerating Lebanon's economic tailspin. I told you, watch Lebanon. We need to keep an eye on Lebanon. They're having serious troubles over there. Lebanon's central bank issued an announcement that seemed to finally sound the death knell on the country's floundering economy. Fuel subsidies, long seen as a lifeboat for the country's growing legions of impoverished people, were halted. While new fuel prices have not yet been set, experts expect them to quadruple, ultimately causing an inflationary shock in a country that has seen its poverty levels soar. Its medicines all but disappear from pharmacies, and its electricity supplies more than halved. This is obviously going to ripple through the whole economy. For a large part of the population, electricity will become a luxury. Driving your car will become a luxury too. Transportation will become a luxury. The announcement was the watershed moment that residents of Lebanon have braced for since the start of an economic crisis in 2019. As a financial tailspin burned through the country's foreign exchange reserves, officials warned that the subsidies, which had protected the population from the full effects of the crisis, were unsustainable. But poor management of the financial collapse, which the World Bank has dubbed a deliberate depression, means the country is less prepared to handle the consequences of liberalization of fuel prices than ever before. For days, the announcement was widely believed to be imminent. The central bank had suspended lines of credit to fuel importers, and local reporting, citing unnamed officials, said that the subsidies would follow. The central bank issued a statement standing by its decision and saying that the subsidies were being exploited by businesses. Around $800 million were paid in import subsidies in July alone, yet fuel shortages were still rampant. There's a widely held belief that importers either stockpiled subsidized fuel or smuggled it out of Lebanon to be sold at market prices elsewhere, hence making a massive profit. So, you know, this is going to come. This isn't, you know, not going to come. At some point, it is going to come to the United States of America. We cannot delay this forever, okay? And when it happens, it is going to be catastrophic. You got 300 million people that have never had anything but luxury in their lives. It's going to be disastrous. Mark my words on this. But for right now, Hezbollah is going through it, and those people are really suffering in the process. from Reuters. Lebanon's Hezbollah says it will begin importing fuel from Iran. Lebanon is experiencing a severe shortage of fuel that has caused long lines at petrol stations and extended blackouts. Hospitals, bakeries, and other essential facilities have said that dwindling stocks will cause them to shut down. I assure you, yes, God willing, we will definitely bring diesel and gasoline from Iran, Hassan Nasrallah said, saying the government was no longer able to provide. In June, Nasrallah had said that all the logistics needed for such a step were ready and that Hezbollah would be able to do so while bypassing the central bank in order to avoid violating U.S. sanctions. Nasrallah said that Iran had assured him it would stand by Lebanon and blamed the Lebanese government and American influence for a lack of response to the Iranian offer. It's settled, he said, adding that he would inform people of the timeline in the next 2 to 3 days. Okay, so Iran is planning on sending oil to Lebanon. Lebanon is in a crisis. Their government isn't functioning properly. If they get oil and things start to stabilize a little bit, Hezbollah is going to be hailed as the champions of the nation for getting them back on track. We need to keep an eye on what's going on in Lebanon. From JNS, report exposes land of tunnels in Lebanon pioneered by Hezbollah. Some of the tunnels are large enough for pickup trucks with multi-barreled rocket launchers, like the one used by Hezbollah to fire on Israel this past week, to move tens of kilometers underground, meaning that the truck can fire on Israel, vanish into a tunnel, and reemerge tens of kilometers away. The network of tunnels could be connecting the Beirut area, Hezbollah's central headquarters, and the Beqa area, Hezbollah's logistical operation rear base to the southern Lebanon. In our estimation, the cumulative length of all the tunnels can reach up to hundreds of kilometers. Like Hamas tunnels, the Lebanese tunnels contain underground command and control rooms, weapons and supply depots, field hospitals, and shafts used to fire a wide range of rockets and missiles. The shafts open for a short period of time for the purpose of firing their armament and then immediately shut, closed for the purpose of reloading the hydraulic launcher with new ordnance. Bad things going on in Lebanon, and this will all affect Israel. And if it affects Israel, it will affect everything in the Middle East. Keep your eyes on Lebanon. From GB News, documents reveal bin Laden wanted to make Biden president. The lackluster and poorly planned U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan would not have come as a surprise to former al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden, resurfaced documents suggest. Papers from Osama bin Laden's hideout were published by the U.S. Military Academy's Combating Terrorism Center following his assassination a decade ago. That 175-page collection of documents covered the period from 2006 to 2011. Newly pertinent, however, are the terrorist leader's nascent plot to make Biden replace Obama as president. Bin Laden ordered his followers to create special cells in Afghanistan and Pakistan designed to attack the aircraft of Obama and then CIA Director David H. Petraeus. Astoundingly, bin Laden justified the reason for the assassination as that Obama is the head of infidelity and killing him automatically will make Biden take over the presidency for the remainder of the term, as it is the norm over there. He went on to write that Biden is totally unprepared for that post, which will lead the U.S. into a crisis. Bin Laden's documents conclude that the assassination of Obama and Petraeus would alter the war's path in Afghanistan. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now. An incompetent in the White House that is making decisions that will affect everything that goes on in the Middle East and ultimately that goes on in the United States of America. But the alternative of having him keel over in his oatmeal is no better, because then we'd have Kamala in office. And so either way, we are in real bad shape in this country for at least the next few years. Very sad. From CBS Video, Biden UN Ambassador Linda Thomas Greenfield calls the Taliban victors. As we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. From Xinhua, Mongolia reports 1,300 new COVID-19 cases. Mongolia reported 1,300 new COVID cases and 4 more deaths from the disease, bringing the counts to 182,591. Do you know that they had less than 591 total cases before they started vaccinating? Did you know that? They had like 300 total cases, not deaths, total cases in February. As soon as they started vaccinating, they've gone through the roof and they are now at 182,591 with 903 deaths, respectively. A total of 5,597 samples were tested across the country, and the latest confirmed cases were all local infections. Local infections. The Asian country launched a nationwide COVID-19 vaccination campaign in late February, aiming to cover at least 60% of its 3.3 million population. So far, 68.1% of the country's total population have received their first dose, and 62% have been fully vaccinated. And their numbers are sky high. The book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in this regard? From Mail Online. I'm looking at some people that I think are probably going to be very disappointed. The end of pulling a sickie. New AI tool could allow businesses to see if employees are really ill by remotely checking their vital signs on a smartphone. All right, you malingerers, no more malingering. Solution for businesses helps them to keep an eye on their employees' daily health. Employees just need to look at their phone's camera so the AI can take a reading. AI detects vital signs, including heart rate, oxygen saturation, and respiratory rate. A new AI platform monitors vital signs of employees when they look at their smartphone to see if they're sick. Bina Teams, created by Israeli company Bina, comes in the form of an application for smartphones, as well as tablets, laptops, and desktops. Once installed, an employee, student, or any other team member just has to look at their device's camera for the AI to determine vital signs like heart rate, oxygen saturation, and respiratory rate in a couple of minutes. The results could help a business remotely determine with medical-grade accuracy if a team member is really ill, although employees couldn't legally be forced to use it. The company stresses that its application does not save images or input video streams used for measurements to assuage privacy concerns. So if you guys are out there malingering, you're going to get caught now. I know nobody in this church would do that. Okay, I thought it was a great article. Doug sent that to me from Ireland, and I read that, and I said, that's actually kind of inventive that you can look at a phone and say, you're not really sick. Come on into work. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of. So let's see how that's developing. From the Jerusalem Post, you talk about a zombie apocalypse? Here it is. COVID-19 pandemic causing babies to develop differently. Yes, children born during the coronavirus pandemic have significantly reduced verbal, motor, and overall cognitive performance compared to children born before the pandemic. And this discrepancy is especially pronounced in males, as well as in children in lower socioeconomic families. That means that the minorities are being deprived of their ability to properly grow because of the COVID pandemic. Researchers believe that this highlights that even in the absence of infection and illness, the pandemic has had a significant negative impact on infant and child development. Researchers examined data from an ongoing longitudinal study of child neurodevelopment, comparing scores in 2020 and 2021 to scores from 2011 through 2019. The researchers found that verbal, nonverbal, and overall cognitive scores are significantly lower performance than infants born before January 2019. Researchers stated that it is clear that young infants and children are developing differently than pre-pandemic, and that addressing this now, while their brain is at its most plastic and responsive, is imperative. Researchers concluded that results suggest that early development is impaired by the pandemic's effect on environmental factors. Children are heavily influenced by their environment, and a child's brain undergoes a large amount of structural and functional growth during both by genetic and environmental factors. The COVID pandemic greatly altered the environment of both young children and pregnant individuals, which could greatly influence child's development. Well, let's not think things through before we do the things that we're going to do. right? And the left in this nation is still pushing these agendas. Oh, not just this nation, all over the world. They're destroying the next generation, one bad decision at a time. Epic Times. Pediatrics Association claims masking does not delay children's speech and language development. The AAP says that parents do not need to be concerned about their child's social development, claiming that masking has no negative impact on speech or language development. I believe that this much. That much. Zero Hedge. Australia's outbreak worsens despite authorities' draconian lockdowns. Locking their people down. I'm telling you, Australia's become a completely, it's a Nazi East Germany, whatever, Stasi state. It is completely gone. Those people are, I don't understand how it could have gone so quickly, but they have no rights over there at all. They're locked down. They're being persecuted. And a lot of them are just letting it happen. It's just terrible. From CNN, Tourism Australia's new campaign isn't about travel. It's about vaccination. They got a Tourism Australia ad out there, and it's got a picture of a woman in a hospital breathing hard. What does that have to do with tourism? From Isabel in New Zealand, lady at the beginning of the week sent me this. Tuesday, there has been one COVID case, and the whole of New Zealand is going into level 4 lockdown. I've heard this on several news sites since then, is that they had one supposed case. It wasn't even a confirmed case at the time. We're shutting down the entire nation of New Zealand. It's just like Australia. I'm telling you, just terrible. Terrible what's going on. Zero Hedge. New Zealand's tyrannical prime minister tells Kiwis to blame Australia for COVID lockdowns. So now it's not our fault at all. I'm locking you down with one possible case, not even yet confirmed. I'm locking you all down, but it's Australia's fault. Zero Hedge. Macron says showing police your papers to visit a cafe is about freedom. Can you imagine that?
No.
Okay, via the Hindustan Times. Taliban ban COVID vaccine. And my thought is saving life, one fatwa at a time. Breitbart, coronavirus. Philippines strictly bans outdoor exercise in Manila. Outdoor exercise. You can't go out jogging. You can't do any outdoor exercise, which is the thing you should be doing. Out there breathing fresh air, being in the sunshine. Absolutely insane what's going on in this world. Mail Online, school tragedy. 4 unvaccinated teachers from one Florida school district die of COVID-19 within 24 hours of each other. Sounds bad. Ron DeSantis' fault, right? Before school semester has even started. They're trying to blame it on the governor. They died before it even started. The left, I'm telling you, they will take every advantage of destroying our governor when these elections come up. Be ready for it. Be ready to defend against these people because it is coming. All right, let's see here. Unheard. The most vaccine hesitant group of all? PhDs. A new study found that the most educated are the least likely to get jabbed.
We're so smart.
Breitbart. Arnold Schwarzenegger says, you're a schmuck for not wearing a mask. And then he said, screw your freedom. Okay, Mail Online. Schwarzenegger lives the high life as he keeps a cigar in his mouth while leaving a hair salon with his friends in Beverly Hills after saying that. Newsmax. Nutrition company cuts ties to Schwarzenegger over screw your freedom remark. Good. Epic Times. Federal agency declares first ever water shortage at Lake Mead. I said this 4 years ago. They're just robbing Peter to pay Paul. They keep draining one lake way up here to fill this one, and eventually they're not going to be able to do it anymore, and this is the first year they're not able to do it. Robbing Peter to pay Paul, the West is in a terrible state, and if they don't get rain, it's going to get worse and worse. And you talk about Revelation plagues, there it is. Epic Times, for you in Sarasota, Florida, please listen. Friday night, Sarasota became the first Republican-leaning county in Florida to impose a school mask mandate. In violation of a ban on such measures adopted by the administration of Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. That's not good. What we need to do is we need to get in there and we need to have a recall on these people.
Yes.
We need to have a recall. We got political people in here that know how to get that thing started. We need to get that started and we need to get the 3 that voted for this. We need to get them recalled. Amen. We need to get these people out. This is what happens when you don't pay attention when you're checking your votes on your voter thing.
Name them, please.
I don't know who they are. You can look it up. I just got that information. I want you to know, please get ready and let's do a recall on these people. Okay. The state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that. Daily Wire. Atlanta Public School told Catholic couple to remove their child from the district if they want to avoid LGBTQ plus issues in kindergarten. This Catholic family went up and they said, we don't want our kindergartners exposed to this. And they said, well, then take your children out. An Atlanta public elementary school principal told a Catholic couple that their child would need to leave the district to avoid learning about LGBTQ plus issues at the age of five. An Atlanta couple obtained a copy of their child's incoming teacher's Amazon classroom wish list. The parents were startled by several of the books, many of which reference sexual orientation, transgenderism, and progressive ideology at the age of five. National Review, bioethicists propose time-delayed suicide implant for dementia patients. Weasel Zippers, 162 Minnesota school administrators call for decentering whiteness, say white children are to blame. Breitbart, Scottish government guidance. Schools can assist gender changes from age four and not tell the parents. Scotland's left separatist SNP government has issued official guidance to schools saying they can assist supposedly transgender pupils to change their gender identity from the age of four without telling their parents. Inadvertent disclosure could cause needless stress for the young person or could put them at risk and breach legal requirements. Therefore, it is best to not share info with the parents or carers without considering and respecting the young person's views and rights. The guidance also suggests that supposedly transgender pupils should be allowed to use the laboratory or changing room of their choice, despite potential safeguarding issues for biological females, especially at high schools where the youngest pupils will be preteens and the oldest over 18. So you can have a deviant that's 18 years old that says, I want to go into the girl's bathroom, and he can do whatever he wants, and they can't say anything about it. Brilliant. Some other news from around the world. And please be sure to check out the Superior Word sermons. I know they will bless you. Epic Times, challenging UN. Study finds sun, not CO2, may be behind global warming. The sun, yes! The sun and not human emissions of CO2 may be the main cause of warmer temperatures in recent decades, according to a study with findings that sharply contradict the conclusions of the UNIPCC. The peer-reviewed paper, produced by a team of almost two dozen scientists from around the world, concluded that previous studies did not adequately consider the role of solar energy in explained increased temperatures. The study was released just as the UN released its sixth assessment report that once again argued in favor of the view that mankind's emissions of CO2 were to blame for global warming. The report said human responsibility was unequivocal, but the new study cast serious doubt on the hypothesis, calling the blaming of CO2 by the IPCC premature. The scientists and solar physicists argued in the paper that the UNIPCC's conclusions blaming human emissions were based on narrow and incomplete data about the sun's total irradiance. Indeed, the global climate body appears to display deliberate and systematic bias in what views, studies, and data are included in its influential reports. That can't be, not the UN. Depending on which published data and studies you use, you can show that all of the warming is caused by the sun. But the IPCC uses a different data set to come up with opposite conclusion. In their insistence on forcing a so-called scientific consensus, the IPCC seems to have decided, here it is, to consider only those data sets and studies that support their chosen narrative. If confirmed, the study published in the International Scientific Journal, RAA, by experts from over a dozen countries would represent a devastating blow to the United Nations and its conclusion that man's emissions of CO2 are the sole or even primary driver of warming.
Time to block the sun.
Yes, time to block the sun. Epic Times. Mother files complaint. So good to read this. Mother files complaint against Atlanta school for segregating classes by race. Yeah. Guess what color she is?
Black.
She's not white. That's correct. She is dark. Killa Posey filed a federal discrimination complaint with the USDOE's Office of Civil Rights against Mary Lynn Elementary School in Atlanta after discovering that it had been dividing students into different classes based on race. First, it was just disbelief that I was having this conversation in 2020 with a person that looks just like me, a black woman. It's segregating classrooms. You can't segregate classrooms. You can't do it. My community, had they known about this, would probably be extremely upset. Not just the black parents, but also the white parents. She told the news station that the school's principal, Sharon Briscoe, who is black, said that the segregation would give students more opportunities and implemented the practice last year. Black students were placed in two classes with two different teachers, while white students were grouped into six classes with six different teachers. Posey said she found out about the practice when she asked the principal to allow her daughter to be taught by a particular teacher. She said, "That's not one of the black classes." And I immediately said, "What does that mean? We have those in this school?" And she proceeded to say, "Yes, I have decided that I am going to place all of the black students in two classes." The principal allegedly told Posey that her daughter would be isolated in the desired teacher's classroom because it wasn't a black class. Posey said that she wants to see the dismissal of Briscoe, good, and her admin for their conduct. Yes. The mother's attorney, Sharice Shields, said that the school is violating Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. All of the progress that this nation has gotten through, all of it is being thrown away by liberals. All of it. All of it. These are not good people. I'm going to say this. The people on the left in this nation are not good people. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. They're bad people. Zero Hedge. Lockdown created 1 million new alcoholics in England. It's not a big country, folks. Before the pandemic began, government began indicating that there were around 1.5 million alcoholics in the country, meaning people who drank at least 50 units every week. But this jumped to just shy of 2.5 million this summer, which experts have blamed on the endless cycle of virus-controlling restrictions. The latest data, taken together with the highest number of alcohol-specific deaths on record, is a stark warning for the government. So we're destroying our little children, and we're destroying the elderly, and we're destroying everybody else in the middle in the process.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. Epic Times. UN globalists arriving in UK for climate summit won't face COVID restrictions imposed on British citizens. Yeah, listen to this. Around 25,000 government figures, media, and environmental campaigners, most of whom will arrive on CO2 belching flights before lecturing us on our energy use, have been given special dispensation by the government. That means they won't need to be vaccinated to enter the country if they're arriving from a green or amber list country. There will be no requirement for self-isolation on arrival to the UK for those coming from amber or green list countries, whether vaccinated or not. Complete hypocritical group of people. From GB News. Okay, GB News is Great Britain News. It's a newer news site that came out, and they have some good articles from time to time. If you're just looking for news about the UK, go to GB News. Okay, migrants crossing the English Channel hits 600 in new daily record. Once again, this is a small little country, folks. More than 11,000 people have now succeeded in crossing the Dover Strait aboard small boats in 2021. I feel bad for them about that, but we have more than 11,000 a day coming over our border. So it's Breitbart, Padilla. Climate change deniers, eerily similar to people who are in denial about COVID-19. No. No. Zero Hedge. DHS bulletin says opposition to COVID mandates is potential domestic terrorism threat. My thought is how to frame a governor. That's why this is coming out, so they can frame a couple of governors that are in opposition to them in the federal government. Mail Online. Border Patrol chief forced out by Biden tells agents the real national security crisis, which I've said several times in the past year, at the border is the record number of known and suspected terrorists flooding into the United States. They're coming in because they know they can. They know that nothing is going to stop them. They will be in this country blowing up people, and they've got the other people coming in and doing their little super spreading all over the Republican states. This is an agenda. This is being perpetrated against the United States of America. They are ruining the foundational underpinnings of our nation right from the top of the government. Okay, who said it? If opportunity doesn't knock, build a door. Milton Berle. Okay, got a Lesrick here for you. Your employers say answer the call. Are you healthy and not sick at all? Are you stuffy in head? Are you still in bed? Or on golf course? Or at the shopping mall? Can't cheat them anymore. Got your little app that says you're not sick. Okay, I got a bit of irony here for you today from Newsbreak. A woman's fully vaccinated father died from COVID-19. Doctors said the condition of the father could have been worse if he was not vaccinated at all. No kidding. No kidding. Such is the world we live in. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.